Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Weekly Cooldown. This is a bonus stage episode. Congratulations, you're getting this one for free. So welcome to the show. We're going to do a spotlight episode today. Spotlight on a community streamer, one I've kind of gotten to know over a very quite short period of time, really. But he seems really cool. I want to have him on for a while, and it's finally happening. Without further ado, I suppose I'm going to let him kind of introduce himself. So take it away.
All right. My name is, it's Oxenagraba. You're not going to be able to spell that, so don't even try. And, I am Twitch's best boy.
Twitch's best.
I like to stream a bunch of different types of games. Recently, last stream, actually, I did Smash Bros. Before that, Sekiro. And if I remember correctly, Breath of the Wild.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say that I have any specific corner that I've carved out for myself on Twitch. Although I have noticed a lot of open world action games tend to be streamed.
Yes. Why are you Twitch's best boy?
because I am. Can't okay. you tell? I radiate best boyness.
You know, yeah, fine. Okay. I won't fight it. I won't fight it.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, welcome to the show. So what we're going to kind of do is kind of get to know you a little bit better as a gamer and a streamer. Now, this, of course, is a bonus episode, so I shouldn't subjugate you to this kind of torture, but I'm going to do it anyway. My first question for you is, what have you been playing this week?
Well, I already mentioned Breath of the Wild, Sekiro, and Smash. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what I played on Monday. Just because I've been thinking about what I'm going to be doing next week. I guess mm-hmm. I can tell you more of that. Hotafel Boyfriend, I think that's how it's said.
Hateful Boyfriend.
Yeah, it'll be my first foray into the degenerate genre known as dating sims, and I can't wait.
Oh boy.
That and Dragon Ball comes out on Friday, and I'm
That's
just
right.
oof the biggest Dragon Ball fan. Okay, maybe mm-hmm. not the biggest. I can't back that up, but I'm a pretty big Dragon Ball fan, so I've been waiting for that one turgently.
Turgently,
yeah, that's right.
Great word. okay, so that's good. That's great. So we're also going to play a quick game to get to know you a little better. Ooh. Let's see. I'm trying to think. What's a good one to really push you into? Have you played Max Payne?
I've played 1 and 3. I bought 2, but I could never get it to work on my PC. It would just not start. And I did all the troubleshooting. And I'm like, God damn you. Why?
Maybe I should wait until you play Max Payne 2 to subject you to that one. Let's instead play the game we played on the last episode, which requires you to dig deep into your gaming past a little bit. I will bring up a console, and you will tell me the first game, the very first game that comes to mind when I mention this console.
Sure.
Let's start with the PlayStation 1.
Siphon Filter 3. I don't want to play that game again.
Yeah, that's a good one. Okay, let's go with the PlayStation 2.
Metal Gear Solid 3. It edged out DMC 3.
Interesting. Good choice.
Thank you.
How about, let's go further back. You play a Nintendo 64?
Never owned one, but a friend of mine had it. So I guess I'd say 64, Ocarina of Time.
Okay, very good, very good. Then let's go a step further back. Did you have a Sega Genesis?
No, but I did play the Sonic the Hedgehog game on the GameCube that was ported. So does that count?
Perfect, succinct.
Awesome.
Absolutely counts. Sonic the Hedgehog. What else is Sega known for? Who knows? No, that's perfect. Great. So I think we kind of get a little bit more about you, right? You like games with strong male leads.
Yeah, that's right.
Great, 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 great. Now we get to know you a little better. So let's jump right into your streams. So first of all, what days do you stream? Let's get the basics out of the way.
I usually shoot for Monday through Thursday. Sometimes I'll do a Friday, Saturday stream, but it's usually Monday through Thursday.
Right. And like evenings, afternoons?
It'll be usually from like 1 to almost 5 because I work pretty early. So. Right.
So you said that this week you did Breath of the Wild. I can't remember what else you said already.
Breath of the Wild, Smash, and Sekiro.
Right. And so you're basically, Sekiro aside, sounds like you're kind of just going back a little bit just to play some games that have come out in the past, like 2 years or so?
Yeah. I mean, real quick about Sekiro, I like it. It's new. I've played a bunch of the FromSoft games. It's my favorite one so far, mostly because of the stealth mechanics. You're giving me more options, but I don't get many views on it, which is not the reason why I stream. But I've noticed that. I noticed weirdly that with Nintendo games, maybe because they're older and not as many people are streaming them, I'm able to get more views. That plus I've been meaning to go back into Breath of the Wild past when I played it on PC. Don't keep that to yourself. Don't let anyone know I emulated the Wii U.
Gasp.
Don't let anyone know.
Well, I'll try not to let anyone know.
Especially not Jeffru Nintendomoto. You'll have me.
Yeah, he'll have us all. So, well, that's pretty cool. So you've gone back, you've played Breath of the Wild. What other games have you noticed kind of get you a decent audience?
I would say just games that aren't super recent. Before that, it was like Devil May Cry 3. I played that on PS4. Got me a good number of viewers. Let me think past that. So I should probably preface it with this. So before like a month ago, I'd be, let's just say I'm streaming Doom, and it'd just be streams about Doom till I beat it. But then like a month ago, I started, you know, segmenting one day this, next day that. Maybe we'll return back to the first game and then add another one at the end.
Gotcha. So, and that seems to work for you and your audience.
Yeah, I'd say so. I also ask if there's anything that people want to see me play. That's where Hatofo Boyfriend came from.
Oh, okay. So your audience wants to see you suffer. I get it. I get it.
It's a mutual disdain.
Perfect. What more could you ask for?
Exactly.
So. Why did you get into streaming at least as much as you do currently?
I always wanted to do something gaming related, especially since, I mean, most people around my age probably stopped watching, using cable, maybe around like 10, 11, maybe 12, and stuck mostly to YouTube. So you're seeing a bunch of people that are somewhat older than you, and maybe not a lot. And I'm picturing. Mind you, while I'm saying this, like people like Markiplier, PewDiePie, except years ago, who aren't that much older than you, being able to be successful in this sphere, in this thing that really you grew up hearing probably from your parents. Listen, Sonny, you put that thing down there. You're not going to be able to make any money off of it. You're not. That's a toy. Stop it. I will hurt you.
Right.
So, I mean, you're seeing people like that, and you kind of think, I mean, I'd like to be able to do that. I like gaming. I hope I'm somewhat interesting to listen to. Maybe I can get into this. And that's it. Also, I mean, if I'm gaming, I might as well try to do something with it.
Right. Not a bad idea. Now, we met through the University of Streaming Discord.
Yes, we
did. They have a pretty good community going on, actually. I think they've recently hit something like over 200, 300 members.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, there's a lot of people flocking over. Actually, yeah, there's about almost over 200 members on at the moment. So yeah, they're gaining a good amount of traction. I wanted to know your thoughts on streaming communities, because there's some that work and there's others that are more or less scams. So I just wanted to know your initial thoughts on streaming communities.
Well, so I've only really been in like two streamer related Discords, and it's it's the one that you've already mentioned, and one that's a friend of mine who used to stream. I hope she comes back to streaming. I don't know if she will. Luna Rain, if you've ever maybe seen her before. Mm-hmm. And I'd be lying if I said that I hung out a lot on the University of Streaming Discord. But, I mean, they seem pretty helpful. When I was there, I got a lot of advice. I got some help. I'm pretty sure if I were more active there, I'd probably help out with my networking a lot more.
Right.
Which is, I think, my biggest failing as a streamer. I do know that's important. But yeah, I guess that would pretty much cover it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so no bad thoughts there.
Yeah, I haven't had a bad experience yet.
Okay, well, that's good. I try to cross-reference what I hear and see if I can pinpoint a sweet spot where people are, you know, either think it's good, but it has some kind of issue, or they just think it's bad and it'll never be good ever again. But mostly hear all right things. So that aside, and all your streaming aside, let's get to know you a little bit more as a gamer, as even more so than we already have. Let's talk about your favorite game of all time.
Ooh.
Do you have a favorite game of all time?
Okay, wait. Let me just preface it with this. I do have a favorite game of all time, but I also have two favorite series. So I'll say those two real quick. And my favorite game falls into one of them. My two favorite series, in case you've played the second one, it's Metal Gear Solid. Never really played Metal Gear. See, that's different. And Yakuza. I don't know if you or your listeners have played those games. If not, I would highly recommend them. Mm-hmm. Freaking amazing.
Yes, we've had the Yakuza plug before. Although we do not talk much about Metal Gear on the podcast, I think most of my followers know that I very much enjoy Metal Gear Solid.
A fellow patrician, I see.
Yes, very much so.
As you asked, my favorite game of all time is Snake Eater.
Metal Gear Solid 3.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so let's do a deep dive into Metal Gear Solid 3. Just off the top of your head, why would you say it's your favorite game of all time?
A few reasons. One of them, I'll get the flimsiest one out of the way. It was my first. It was my foray in a Metal Gear slash. Uh-huh. It also gave me my favorite Snake, Big Boss, Naked Snake.
Right.
Let's see. It does a lot of stuff that the other games never really followed up with, and that sort of saddens me. Mm-hmm. So it, the healing mechanic, I'll start off with this, the healing mechanic. I can see some people thinking it was cumbersome, right? You got to burn, you got to apply ointment, you got to make sure you do everything that you would have had to do in real life, dress the wound, everything, and then Snake is fine, right? If not, you're suffering some penalties right there. But I like that. Phantom Pain, the most you can get is Venom Snake's leg, or I want to say maybe his arm can also, the shoulder, you'll have to relocate it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You have to set it back in a place with a simple button press, and you know, he yells, cue the song Nuclear in the background, and then he's back to flipping boys and shooting everybody else in the face, unless you're playing a no alert run, which is what I try to do, but oof, haven't done that in a minute. just those small things I've always enjoyed. Something that I learned recently, actually, a month ago, by a YouTube channel, Fact Fiend. Mm-hmm. If you wear, now, I don't know if you remember the name of this boss, but do you remember the boss that uses bees to fight you?
That is the Pain.
The Pain. All right. So if you wear an all white costume, the bees are ineffective because you're similar to a beekeeper. They won't even attack Snake. You could pretty much just, I mean, if you're going for the no kill run, just trank, 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 and he's done.
Right.
Wow,
I didn't know that.
Something that I actually, since that was my first Metal Gear and I didn't know anything about it, about the series, which I started it in middle school, I thought I was being smarter than the game, and I had heard actually about Ocelot from a friend. It's like, I see. You're going to be a pain in my ass later on, aren't you? Shot him in the face. It's like time paradox. Snake, you weren't supposed to do that. It's like, oh, damn, they knew. They knew. He always knew I'd do this. But yeah, it's things like that. Like if you get poisoned, Snake will obviously suffer the effects of poisoning. But if you just let it, if you just don't cure it, he'll build up a tolerance, and then snakes will bite you, and he'll be like, no.
Right.
You know, I'm the snake. Wrong.
Right.
You cannot hurt me. Being able to capture animals, if you kill them, they decompose inside of your equipment screen, and he can't eat that. They become inedible. If you trank them, like, again, a snake, you trank a snake, you pick it up. You can either eat it or throw it at a guard. You don't have to just, the game felt open with its mechanics in allowing the player to explore it in any way they thought of. And the following Metal Gear games weren't nearly as open. Like Phantom Pain, I think, plays the best, has the best controls. I'm not going to say anything about visually because sequels should look better than their predecessors. So, you know, that's, now I'll say even today, the game still holds up. It's still one of the best looking games in my opinion, but you can't do half of the things, that you could in Metal Gear Solid, 3, which is, it's a weird thing when it comes to sequels. The more popular franchise gets, the more sort of stripped back and laid bare those sequels become. They improve some things, but then they take out some other things that would have made it just a better game.
Right. That's very true. I never really thought of it that way, but yeah, they definitely did take away some of the functionality that made Metal Gear Solid 3, you know, as popular as it was in Metal Gear Solid 5. So, yeah, that's a really good point.
Let's see. I've went back and I've played Metal Gear Solid 2. I've played 4 through a couple times. Obviously, I've played 5. I don't know what else to say there. But, I've listened to full like lore explanations to fill in the holes, things that I don't remember, or you know, just things that I didn't experience in the games because I didn't play them. And I look at three and I see the total creative freedom that Hideo Kojima had. Let's make a game centered around the villain when he was still the face, when he was still the dude who would nerd out from a gun that his support would give him. About how he'd just lose it going at like the trigger is X and Y and the way that the rounds go inside. It's just this guy will go on to lead an army against the Patriots and in his eternal struggle against his former friend Zero. Because they both heard what the boss had to say and both misinterpreted it. And the road to hell is paved with good intentions. But man, those nukes are not, people can't trust you with those nukes because you're a foreign entity that's beholden to nothing and no one. Ah,
right,
man. And then
Kojima is quite the genius.
I mean, yes, and so I like Phantom Pain, right? I like it a lot. Haven't been able to 100% it, but I made sure to get the S ranks on every mission so I can get Raiden twice. But So Phantom Pain helps to explain a plot hole. If you remember, I think in Metal Gear, Solid Snake kills Big Boss. He burns him alive, and I think Mother Base in Zanzibar Land blows up. But then he fights him in the next game, and he's fine. He has no scars, and he goes on to create Venom Snake to. Spoilers to fix that plot hole. It's like, who's Venom Snake? And you know, I mean, the internet pretty much figured it out pretty quickly. Oh, it's the medic because he has Keith or Sutherland's voice, and they make sure not to show his face. And I mean, I bought the game and I walked in and I'm creating my character. Ah, I'm not actually Snake. I'm still going to enjoy this, but I'm not actually Snake. As much as I enjoy the game, it was an unnecessary sequel. 4 was the send off that the series needed, at least for Solid. They could have really ended it with 3, because he wasn't constrained by much of the lore. You could create a totally new Snake, and it's like this is how the hero becomes the villain. He was forced to kill the woman who trained him, who knew him so well that she could tell that he had lost weight by just listening to his voice as they communicated. The woman that made him the man that he is today, and she died. She was a hero, but she died according to history, a coward, a traitor, and the worst scum ever. And he took that and he said no more. Soldiers won't be thrown away. Their lives won't be used as political capital any longer. I'll make sure to carve a way for these people to live their own lives, fight their own wars. I mean, they're still soldiers at the end of the day. And then you have 4, and it closes off Solid's story, which is I mean, it was a great send off. Don't tell me. I call bull on anyone who plays the microwave scene while Raiden's fighting, or the fight against Liquid Ocelot at the very end, when the Metal Gear Solid 3 section kicks off and the HUD goes to that game's HUD, and you got some of that music and you're just seeing them doing CQC on each other, and you don't just cry a little manly tear.
right.
Real quick, did you know that Otacon and Solid were supposed to be hanged at the end of the game?
No.
The song that was used in the I want to say trailer. No, in the opening of Ground Zeroes, Sacco and Vincetti. I think it's "Here's to You." Skullface kind of he quotes it. Immigrants wrongly executed. You know that scene. That was supposed to play in the original ending for 4, because by the time of that game, they are considered terrorists, rogue agents that are supposed to be killed. Because if I remember correctly, they believe them to be starting all of these. Also, I mean, you still got the Patriots controlling everything, and they're trying to shut down the Patriots. So the Patriots would obviously say, no, these are the bad guys. You got to get them.
Right.
Boy.
Interesting. I had no idea. Yeah. It's always interesting, especially when it's Hideo Kojima and his games, to see him kind of reference something that he was going to do in another game or that he did in another game. And then you don't pick up on it either right away, or someone else picks up on it and you're like, oh shit, how didn't I get that?
Although I will say, because I did poo-poo Metal Gear Solid 5 a lot while saying that I liked it. The truth tapes are the best part of the game. And you obviously, you got them, right?
I didn't finish it, but I got most of them.
Well, the truth tapes, you get them from beating the game. And you find...
Maybe I'm thinking of something else.
Well, no, because you do collect a lot of the tapes. A lot of tapes.
Yeah.
Throughout the game, but the truth tapes you just get dumped onto you, and sometimes I'll just play the game and just listen to that in the background while I'm exfiltrating soldiers. I'm helping them figure out that they've always wanted to be in my army all along, with a rocket punch to the face. But
right,
since you're a fan of Metal Gear, I think you'd get a lot out of it. You get to see, well, you don't see it, but you get to hear Zero's plan to save Big Boss. You get to hear of him talking to Miller to get him to do the plan. It's like, look, you don't matter. The only thing that matters is the boss. That's a Cypher or Zero talking to Miller. It's like, the only reason why you're here is because I kind of need you to keep the boss safe. It's what she would have wanted. And you find out, oh, you know what? Zero really wasn't this monster that we were all led to believe. He was this guy slowly going paranoid, becoming paranoid, and slowly losing just his bodily autonomy because of what Skullface did to him. What are the
vocal cord parasites? I forget the name. Nanomachine.
No. This is before that. It's in Metal Gear Solid 5. Did you get to the scene where Venom finds all the African test subjects, and you could see their lungs kind of through their rib cage?
I think so, but I can't remember what they're called either.
Anyways, you get to hear of. Of how he got him, how Skullface took down Zero, and you get to see as he, you know, he's losing it. His plans, he's got to set these plans up. You kind of get to understand why he became so distrusting and set up that AI to run everything in his absence, and. How he was trying his damnedest just to save Snake at the end. It's all about him.
I'm glad that you have such a robust knowledge of the game's lore. It makes me, as another fan, it makes me quite happy to just hear you gush about Metal Gear Solid 3 through 5, like, in such good detail. Perfect.
Oh,
the kind of stuff I need on this podcast.
Oh, wait, can I, real quick,
unload
for everyone who loves Metal Gear, who played Metal Gear Solid 5 and didn't feel satisfied by the ending. There's sort of a fan comic that was made. You can find it on YouTube. It's, let me see, I was just looking it up. How long is it? It's like 3 minutes and 25 seconds. It's got voice acting and everything. It's actually quite good. If you want more of a definitive end to the game, because the ending that they show in the game when the truth is revealed to Venom, that's when Solid Snake is attacking the base. I don't know if you picked that up, because there's an alarm going off in the background. There's mm-hmm. smoke everywhere. You can hear some gunshots in the distance before he cracks the mirror. I would suggest people look up Metal Gear Solid Last Day in Outer Heaven. It kind of gives a nice send-off to Venom Snake at the end.
Perfect. Sounds good. Look it up, listeners. I know you want that kind of shit in your life. All right. So we're going to wrap it up now. Oxnagadaba. Oxnagadaba. I got to work on saying it very quickly.
It's you just take it 2 letters at a time and then yes. put it all together and just say it quickly and you got
Oxnagadaba. Perfect. Oxnagadaba. Thank you for joining me on today's episode. Where can people find you on the internet?
Well, twitch.tv/Oxnagadaba. And I upload my archives on YouTube. So, you can find me at youtube.com/shutupstupid31.
Is that for real?
Yeah, it is. That's why I was getting a little quiet while saying it. I made that so long ago. I just wanted to be Shut Up Stupid, but then it's like, no, it's taken, so I had to become the 31st version.
Oh, perfect. The 31st version is the best version, I guess.
Exactly.
Perfect. Well then, that's all for this episode of the Weekly Cooldown, this bonus stage episode, rather. Of course, you can find me at CommieJ's Gaming on Twitter, and also find the Weekly Cooldown at WK Cooldown on Twitter, and go to the website, wkcooldown.com. That's all for this episode. I'm actually going to go play Metal Gear Solid 5 now. So, take care, everyone. See you next time.